Chapter 8, The Assyrians. Shamshi-Adad, king of the whole world. Hammurabi was the most powerful king in southern Mesopotamia, but up to the north, another king was building another empire. His name was Shamshi-Adad, and he didn't want to be a fair ruler who made good laws. He just wanted to rule the whole world. Shamshi-Adad lived in a city called Assur. Babylon was in the south of Mesopotamia next to the Euphrates River, but Assur was in the north part of Mesopotamia beside the Tigris River. When Shamshi-Adad became king of Assur, he decided that Assur should be the center of a new empire. He started out by building a huge temple to the god he worshipped, the god of winds and storms. The temple was made out of cedar logs covered with silver and gold. Shamshi-Adad even rubbed the foundation with oil, honey, and butter to make his god happy. He wanted the god of winds and storms to be on his side and to give him more power so that he could win battles more easily. On the day that the temple was finished, Shamshi-Adad announced, "The god of winds and storms loves the city of Assur more than any other city in the world. And he wants me to be the king of the whole world." The people of Assur all shouted, "Shamshi-Adad will be king of the whole world." Then Shamshi-Adad gathered his army together and set off to conquer the cities of Mesopotamia. His two sons went with him to fight beside him. Every time Shamshi-Adad conquered a new city, he made his sons the new rulers of that city. Soon the Assyrian army had conquered all the cities nearby. Shamshi-Adad wanted the people of Mesopotamia to be afraid of him. He was a dictator. He didn't allow any of the people in his new kingdom to ask questions about his laws and his commands. He just wanted them to obey him immediately. How did he get them to obey? He killed anyone who wouldn't do exactly what he said. When he conquered a city, he chopped off the heads of all the leaders and put them up on stakes around the city. He burned buildings and told his soldiers to destroy everything they could find. No wonder everyone in Mesopotamia was afraid of the Assyrians. Soon, Shamshi-Adad didn't even have to fight battles to conquer cities. As soon as he got near a city's walls, the leaders would come out and surrender. They would offer to pay him money and to call him their king if he would just let them live. Shamshi-Adad would agree to spare their lives, but only if they would do exactly what he said and obey every single one of his decrees. Now Shamshi-Adad's empire spread all over the northern part of Mesopotamia. He named his empire Assyria, after the city of Assur. And he called himself the king of the whole world. But this wasn't exactly true. Remember Babylon, down in the south of Mesopotamia? Babylon had an empire too. Shamshi-Adad never tried to conquer Babylon or to take Babylon's cities away. He knew that Babylon was too strong for him. When Shamshi-Adad died, he left one of his sons the job of ruling over the whole Assyrian Empire. He left the other son in charge of one of the biggest cities in Assyria, the city of Mari. He hoped that the two young men would work together to keep his empire strong. But the brothers bickered with each other. They wrote each other nasty letters. They complained about each other. They didn't keep Assyria united and strong. Soon, Hammurabi decided that he wanted to make Assyria part of the Babylonian Empire. He marched up into northern Mesopotamia with his army. He destroyed the city of Mari, and he took over the city of Assur. Now the Assyrians had to pay tribute to Hammurabi and call Hammurabi king of the whole world. But Hammurabi wasn't as cruel as Shamshi-Adad had been. He let some of the Assyrian leaders stay in charge of their cities as long as they followed his code of laws, and he didn't chop off the heads of leaders or burn their houses. The Assyrians agreed to obey Hammurabi, but all the time they were thinking, One day we will be free again, and we will try to conquer the world one more time. The Story of Gilgamesh. Both the Babylonians and the Assyrians told stories about a great mythical king named Gilgamesh. The story of Gilgamesh is one of the oldest fairy tales in the world. Once upon a time, a king named Gilgamesh ruled the city of Uruk. Gilgamesh was half god and half man. He was the strongest man on earth. He could lift huge stones with one hand and leap over high walls without even trying hard. He was young and healthy, and he had all the money and power any man could ever want. But Gilgamesh was as cruel as he was strong. He made the people of Uruk serve him day and night. He took their money and their food. He took their children to be his slaves. He never thought of others, only of himself. The people of Uruk were desperate to get rid of this wicked king, so they called out to the sky god, Anu. "Help us," they cried. "Our king is evil, and we cannot fight him because he has the strength of a god." Anu looked down from the sky and was very unhappy. "Look at this king, Gilgamesh," he said. "He has all the strength and power in the world, and yet he is cruel to the weak and helpless. This is not right. I will send an enemy to teach him a lesson." So Anu created a monster called Enkidu, a monster who was half man and half animal, with the strength of a dozen lions. "Go and fight Gilgamesh," he told Enkidu, and sent the beast man down into the wild wastelands around the city of Uruk. Meanwhile, Gilgamesh had a nightmare. He dreamed that a huge axe appeared at his door, an axe so big and sharp that he couldn't even lift it. When he woke up, he asked his mother what the dream meant. "A man is coming who can destroy you," his mother told him. "You will have to make friends with him or die." Enkidu came closer and closer to the city of Uruk. But in the forest outside the city's walls, he met the son of a trapper out checking his father's traps. When the boy saw the naked wild man, he was frightened. But he felt sorry for Enkidu, because the beast man had no clothes or food and could not even speak. So he took Enkidu home with him and introduced him to his friends, shepherds who tended their flocks outside the city walls. Enkidu lived with the trapper's son and the shepherds for a long time. They taught him how to talk, how to eat, and how to wear clothes. One day, Enkidu and his friends went into Uruk to the wedding of a great man who was giving a feast for the whole city. But during the wedding feast, Gilgamesh decided that he wanted the bride. He marched into the hall, grabbed the beautiful girl, and started to drag her away. Enkidu was furious. He leaped up in front of the door. "You may be the king," he shouted, "but you'll have to kill me before you take this woman away from her bridegroom." No one had ever told Gilgamesh what to do. He leaped at Enkidu and tried to wrestle him to the ground. They fought all up and down the wedding hall until the food was smashed underfoot and both of them were bleeding. Gilgamesh had never before met anyone so strong. Finally, he won the match. He pinned Enkidu down and sat on him. But he was so tired from fighting that he could barely move. He gasped out,
"Let us be friends from now on."
From then on, Enkidu and Gilgamesh were friends. Gilgamesh became kinder to the people in his city, and he and Enkidu had many adventures together. One day, the bull of the gods escaped from the sky and came down to earth. It came charging through Gilgamesh's kingdom, killing hundreds of people. It was so powerful that whenever it breathed, huge holes and chasms opened up in the earth. the people called to Gilgamesh and Enkidu for help. Enkidu killed the bull and delivered the whole country. But the gods were angry with Enkidu for killing their bull. They sent terrible illness upon him. He suffered in pain for 12 days and then died. Gilgamesh mourned his friend's death. He ordered the whole world to weep over Enkidu. He stopped taking baths. He even stopped eating. He could not bear the thought that death had taken Enkidu away. Finally, he decided that he would have to find the secret of eternal life and conquer death itself. He decided to go see Utnapishtim, the only immortal man on the whole earth. He traveled for a year and a day and finally reached Utnapishtim's home. "What is the secret of eternal life?" he asked Utnapishtim.
"If you can stay awake for 6 days and 7 nights," Utnapishtim told him, "you too can become immortal."
Gilgamesh agreed and instantly fell asleep. He woke up 7 days later. "Give me another chance," he begged.
"Well," Utnapishtim said, "there is one more chance for you. If you can swim all the way down to the bottom of the ocean, you will find a magical plant that lives on the sea's bottom. Pick it and eat it, and you will become young again."
Gilgamesh leaped up, tied a stone to his feet, and jumped into the ocean. He sank all the way down to the bottom. There he found the magic plant. He picked it, swam back up to the top of the ocean, and began the long journey home. "When I get home," he thought, "I will eat the plant, and then I will live forever." But one night, while Gilgamesh slept, a snake slithered up to him and found the plant. It smelled good, so the snake ate it and immediately became young again. That is why snakes shed their skins. When they begin to get old, they just climb out of their wrinkled old skins and become young again. But Gilgamesh woke up to find his magic plant gone. He went home to Uruk, weeping and mourning. And like all men, he became old and died. But his story was told to all the children of Uruk, and has been told to all their children, and to their children's children, until this very day. Note to parent: the Gilgamesh epic was composed between 3000 and 1200 BCE.